Best for all of us to kindly please take our seats. We're going to be starting in the next 2 to 3 minutes. May I kindly request for us to kindly please take our seats, and we'll start shortly in about 2 to 3 minutes. Thank you so much. Welcome back. I do believe you've enjoyed your lunch. Thank you so much for being here with us. May I kindly request that for all of those members and delegates that are coming in through the door, may I kindly request for you to kindly please take your seats so that we may begin with a very important part of today's program. May I kindly request all of you to please take your seats. Thank you very much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are moving now into our session on institutional commitments to close the funding and coverage gap. This will see countries and partners expressing their commitment to closing the financing gap for SDG 1.3. I'd like to call upon to the stage the chair of this session, and that is Madame Rie Veg-Kelgaard. If she could please come and join me up on stage. And may I also call to the front Professor Sarayut Supananshat, who is the Vice President of the Mahidol University, to please come and join me on stage. In addition to this, I'd like to invite Madame Valerie Smit, who's on the stage now, who is, of course, director, acting director of the Social Protection Department, to give us her opening statement. Please can we give a round of applause to Madame Veg-Kelgaard. Thank you so much.
Okay, yes. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for allowing me to give this few introductory comments to a very important session. I want to say that yesterday, as well as also this morning, we have heard in very many and eloquent and clear ways that there is indeed a very strong commitment to deliver on the SDG agenda, and not least to the 1.3 goal. We have heard that a lot has been done. We have heard that indeed a lot more needs to be done. And the stark truth is, as we speak, more than 4 billion people do not have adequate or any coverage, social protection coverage. So if anything, that should really make us get out of our chairs and roll up our sleeves. Yesterday also we heard and saw the vision of the billboard. And the billboard that very much said, together we can. And that's what I consider the key message, because together is really what it's all about. It is through partnerships, it's through being together, that we can actually ensure that the remaining 4 billion people can have the benefits of adequate social protection coverage. And we really need those type of partnerships and commitments in a range of different dimensions. We need partnerships that work together to mobilize the political will in each and every single country, the political will that will see social protection as the investment it is and ensure that the investment is made. We need partnerships that work together to promote and to develop the very relevant, the affordable, and nationally driven social protection schemes, and create the society we actually want. We need the public and we need the private partnerships that bring together the know-how, the policy advice, the expertise, and the finance so that we can actually provide and deliver the social protection. Hence, make it happen. So this commitment session is therefore of very symbolic value. It underscores the centrality of partnerships. It's making the point that it is through only effective and relevant partnerships that we can realize this objective that we are so committed to, all of us, the universal social protection coverage for all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam. Can we give our chair a round of applause, please? And as a way of building on the momentum that she has set for us and as a way of initiating the session, I have the pleasure now of inviting the signatories of the Memorandum of Understanding between the International Labour Organization and the Mahidol University in Thailand. They are with me on stage, and I'm going to invite Pastor Sarayuta Supananshant, the Vice President of the Mahidol University, to make a short statement. Please, sir, go ahead.
Hello. Ms. Valerie Schmidt, Ms. V. Thelgard, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the President of Mahidol University, Thailand, I am delighted to be here today at the commitment session, high-level conference on achieving SDG 1.3 and universal social protection by 2030, and to sign MOU to formalize and deepen the partnership between the ILO and Mahidol University. Social health protection through affordable statutory health insurance or government-funded health services aim to protect people against the risk of ill health and the related financial burden. It plays a crucial role in poverty reduction and access to good health for all. Countries in Asia are making progress toward the extension of social health protection coverage. However, there are still many challenges to overcome on the path to universal social protections, for which we need capacity building and knowledge developments. Countries can make the best use of their knowledge, expertise, and experience by sharing among themselves through South-South collaboration, in which university and research institutes play a key role. For more than 36 years, Mahidol University established the ASEAN Institute for Health Development with the aim of bridging the gap between interdisciplinary faculties, networking with other organizations in the national, regional, and global level in the context of global health in order to achieve health equity and better health for all. In this context, the ILO and Mahidol University will collaborate on the development and establishment of the regional technical facility for social health protections and on the development and implementation of master degree in primary health care management with a special tax on social health protections. The signing of the MOU marked the consolidation of true partnership. The time is right. We must seize this opportunity to harness the momentum of Health 2020 and the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. This MOU commits us to work together more closely toward our common goal. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to everyone whose dedication and effort have contributed to the finalize of this MOU. Finally, I'm confident that through our effort and commitment, we will be able to achieve more and continue to develop even stronger relationship and friendship between ILO and Mahidol University. I and my colleague at Mahidol University look forward to strengthen our friendship and collaboration with ILO into the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir, for those kind words. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're actually going to transition now into the actual signing of the document. And I'm going to invite both Madame Schmidt and Pastor Supananshant, together with their witnesses, to make their way to the signature table, which is to my left-hand side. And I know that the camera is going to turn its focus to that table, so we'll be watching the signatory on screen. And we invite them to now put their signatures on this very important MOU. Can we give them a round of encouraging applause as they do that? Congratulations to you both. Thank you so very much. You may resume your seats in the front row. Ladies and gentlemen, a final round of applause for this moment that's so important in this MOU. Thank you very much for a very efficient ceremony. And of course, we've acknowledged a very important moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we do know, though, that we have a range of countries and partners that are sitting in the audience here today who also have commitments that they would like to share and express in this particular ceremony. And so I'm going to invite each one of the partners or countries represented here today, and they're all going to make a very brief statement expressing their commitment to this shared goal of closing the financing gap. I'm going to start off with inviting the Honourable Minister of Labour and Social Affairs from Somalia, Mr. Sadiq Wafa, whose commitment speaks to the National Social Protection Policy. May we give a round of applause to His Excellency as he makes his way up.
Respected organizers, thank you for providing me the opportunity to speak on this occasion to express Government of Somalia institutional commitment to promote sustainable social protection system in Somalia. At the present, there is no government-led social protection programs in Somalia, primarily because of decades-long security issues, natural disasters, lack of basic capacity in government to identify and support the poorest and most vulnerable community members and limited physical space. With the support of our development partners, we have initiated some key important capacity development projects to put in place a sound social protection system in line with national social protection policy. Regarding physical space, I am pleased to see that in July 2019, the Executive Board of the IMF met and concluded Article 4 consultation on Somalia. They agreed that the macroeconomic and structural policy of the Somali government outlined under the 4th SMB Staff Monitoring Program meet the capacity standards associated with the upper credit tranche arrangements. Our Prime Minister effective advocacy for debt relief for Somalia featured prominently at the World Bank fall meeting happened in October 2019. And there are good indications that Somalia will reach the decision point to forgive our debt relief. Achieving the debt relief decision point will result in a very significant reduction in debt, creating unprecedented physical space. The Office of Prime Minister Social Development, Economic Development Roadmaps has already indicated that the investment in social sectors, especially social protection and water, will receive substantial budgetary allocation after debt relief. Before we get this physical space, we expect that our technical partners like ILO will help us identify feasible and most appropriate social protection programs where government should invest its resources and create real impact on poverty. In line with our national social protection policy, the government of Somalia is fully committed to promote a sustainable and predictable social protection system in Somalia and will avail all our resources and disposal to ensure that the achievement of the principle of leave no one behind and benefit the poorest first. I thank you for providing me this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Honorable Minister, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to please welcome making a commitment on the roadmap for national social protection floor, the Honorable Minister of Social Development from the Palestine Authority. Please help me welcome Mr. Ahmed Majaladani.
Thank you very much for your invitation. May I speak in Arabic, if you please? I think you have translation. Thank you. شكراً على الدعوة لتأمنا حكومة دولة فلسطين بتطوير نظام شامل للحماية الاجتماعية والانتقال من البرامج إلى الأنظمة إلى نظام حماية اجتماعية يقوم على ثلاثة مرتكزات: نظام للمساعدات الاجتماعية، نظام للخدمات الاجتماعية، ونظام للضمان الاجتماعي. قطعنا أشواط طويلة في هذا العمل، تربطنا علاقة تنسيق وتعاون وطيدة مع منظمة العمل الدولية ومكتبها في دولة فلسطين.
I'm sorry, sir. There's no interpretation from Arabic. There was no interpretation of Arabic provided. We're very sorry.
وطلبنا من منظمة العمل الدولية مساعدتنا في إجراء دراسة تكلفة.
Excuse me, sir. We seem to have a slight problem with the interpretation. I do apologize. If you could just give us 1 minute, we'd love very much to hear what you're saying. Technical team, can I please ask the interpreter to please at least come onto stage and she can interpret into English or French? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we do apologize, but I think it's very important for us to hear what the minister has to say. So I do apologize, Your Excellency, if you could start from the beginning so we can hear you.
Yes. الالتزام الأول اعتماد مفهوم ومنهجية الفقر المتعدد الأبعاد.
Alors le président il est en train de parler des engagements.
There are various commitments that are being described now by the minister.
راح أختصر تحدث عن ثلاث التزامات بتقدمها الحكومة الفلسطينية.
I will be summarizing the commitment that the Palestine state of Palestine will be adopting.
الالتزام الأول اعتماد مفهوم ومنهجية الفقر المتعدد الأبعاد.
Adoption of a concept and a mechanism for poverty reduction that has different aspects.
بدلا من مؤشر الفقر المعتمد على الدخل والاستهلاك.
Instead of the poverty index.
Indication. المبني على الدخل والاستهلاك.
Which is based on income and revenues.
الالتزام الآخر بناء وإنشاء أرضية للحماية الاجتماعية والأولوية للأشخاص ذوي الإعاقة وكبار السن.
Our second commitment would be to embark with the establishment of a national social protection floor, and one of the priorities would be persons with disabilities and old age.
الاعتماد الثالث هو منهجية إدارة الحالة في تقديم الخدمات الاجتماعية.
Our second commitment would be the adoption of a mechanism on the administration of the current situation in the provision of social assistance.
Thank you very much.
Anna, thank you very much.
A very big thank you to the Honourable Minister and the brave ladies on stage. Thank you very much for assisting us. Ladies and gentlemen, we move now to a commitment on the ratification of Convention 102, a commitment that comes from the State Secretary, the Deputy Minister of Labour and Social Protection from the Russian Federation. Ladies and gentlemen, please may we welcome onto stage Mr. Andrei Pudov.
Ladies and gentlemen, I greet you on behalf of the Social Protection Institute. We attach great importance in the Russian Federation to practical cooperation with the ILO, and we use as models the standards that are adopted by ILO. All this is reflected in the program of cooperation between the Russian Federation and the ILO for 2017-2020. For Russian, guaranteed citizens' rights in the social area are a priority of state policy, independently of people's sex, ethnic group, age, where they live, or other criteria. And I must say that one of the milestones in social protection has been the ratification by the Russian Federation of ILO Convention 102. That convention is the basic document of international law on social protection. It defines the contents of the European and Ibero-American codes of social protection, and also it is also the documents ratified by the Russian Federation. On behalf of Russia, we've adopted all of the obligations under all parts of the convention, that is healthcare, sickness, old age, coverage, occupational accidents and diseases, maternity, disability and loss of breadwinner provisions. It's going to come into force for Russia on the 26th of February 2020, and I must point out that we have been able, when preparing ratification with ILO experts, have guaranteed every Russian citizen has a right to a pension, even those who haven't paid enough contributions. We are continuing our joint work with the ILO, and we hope it will continue. I must also thank our deputies. We have a deputy from the Russian Parliament, or Duma, here, who's been working on the federal law, implementing the convention. We fully agree with ILO's position that we have to fight poverty, improve the living standard of workers. And I would like now to say a few words about what Russia is doing to achieve the SDGs. Last year, the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, signed a decree about the targets and goals of the development of the Russian Federation up to 2024. And one of the main targets is to increase the standard of living of citizens and also leading and help them be self-fulfilled and develop their talents. So there are interdisciplinary programs that are all linked between themselves. And three of them are the following: population, healthcare, and education. And they contain several measures. On the project population, which the Minister of Labour has carried out, is being carried out, it requires an agreement at all levels of power from local to federal. The aim is to achieve a natural and sustained growth of population. The aim being to achieve by 2024 a birth rate of about 1.7. So under this project on population, we plan to resolve the problem of financial support for families through family allowances and children's allowances. We're going to improve our family allowance system so that one of the parents can leave work for a period of up to until the child is up to is 3 years old. And if a woman stays at home looking after a child until it is three, she can then go back and learn new skills. And then we have another feature of this program. There's another sub-project on older people. We're going to improve our long-term care of older people. So, to sum up, because I haven't got much time, I'd like to point out that at present in Russia, we have multifaceted work going on to provide protection to the population as a whole. And I shall be inspired by all the interesting things I've heard here at the Social Protection Week. And I wish us all every success in our work for the next 100 years. Thank you.
Thank you very much, State Secretary, for sharing with us the number of initiatives in the Russian Federation. We're going to hear now briefly from Mr. Nilov, who is representing the Department of State, the State of Duma in the Russian Federation. It's a great privilege to have you with us, sir. May we welcome you to make a few remarks. Thank you.
Всем добрый день.
Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to use this opportunity to welcome you on behalf of the Committee of the Russian Parliament that deals with social policy. And I'd remind you that this year we are celebrating the centenary of the ILO. So I congratulate you all on that. As Minister Pudov has said, we have ratified Convention 102. This was a great event, and we had been, it was a complicated process lasting about 20 years. The principle of tripartism was basic when we were examining this document. Constant dialogue with the trade unions, the employers, with the direct involvement of ILO experts, all this was necessary because Russia is unique. Russia is 400 times as big as Switzerland, for example, and we have 50 million people in Russia. And one more point. We have people who were born under the Tsars. We have people who were born in the Soviet Union, and there were people who were born into a contemporary democratic Russia. And of course, all these historical transformations complicate the political decision-making process. The fact that we've achieved a consensus and this convention was unanimously ratified in the Duma last year is also a tribute to the ILO experts, the ILO office in Moscow, and the executive, that is the Russian parliament. For us, this ratification is another milestone, but we shouldn't stop there. We must move forward. And we must remain convinced that a world of social protection It starts with a birth and finishing with death. Should be given the closest attention by every state. Of course, we need to strengthen the financial support. And we should understand that the social area is very tricky, it's very sensitive, and certain things have to be discussed, taking into account the specifics of this area. So I thank everybody for sharing their experience, and those who are prepared to have one-on-one exchanges of experience too. And I wish you every success in your work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we now turn our focus to South America. It's with a great pleasure that we have the Secretary of Social Security from Brazil, who's going to make a statement on behalf of Brazil, but will also make a statement on behalf of BRICS in relation to multilateral migration. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Mr. Leonardo Rolim to the podium, please.
Good afternoon. First, I will read a BRICS commitment. I will also speak briefly about the changes that are taking place in the Brazilian social security system. BRICS commitment towards sustainable and universal social protection. We, the ministers of labor and employment and heads of delegations from the Federative Republic of Brazil, the Russian Federation, the Republic of India, the People's Republic of China, and the Republic of South Africa met in Geneva on 25-26 November 2019 at the High-Level Conference of Achieving SDG 1.3 and Universal Social Protection in the Context of the Future of Work. Referring to the adopted BRICS Labor and Employment Ministers Declaration, since 2015, especially to the 2019 one in Brasilia, which reiterate our shared commitment to social security in view of its contribution to well-being of our nations and the generations to come, bearing in mind that the BRICS country accounts for more than 40% of the world's population, reflecting an important responsibility in extending social security coverage to all groups of population and workers in all types of employment, including those who engage in atypical types of work and migrant workers, recognizing common challenges for sustainable and adequate social security in the BRICS countries that include informal employment, poverty, and inequality, limited access to social security benefits by difficult to cover groups. Taking into account the need for social protection system to adapt to the changing role of work and increasing mobility of workers, we hereby reaffirm our strong support to further development of the BRICS Social Security Cooperation Framework that provides a forum for BRICS countries to share information and advance jointly towards universal social protection. And we express our joint commitment in accordance with our national condition as follows. One, to take due action to further promote social insurance and formal employment, which are fundamental for ensuring universal, adequate, and sustainable social protection. Two, to promote and implement both contributory and non-contributory social security programs for the purpose of achieving sustainable social security coverage for all. Three, to take due action to enhance the cross-border portability of social security benefits through the conclusion of social security agreements among BRICS countries. And 4, to take due action to further build comprehensive social security system as guided by ILO social security standard, including convention number 102 and recommendation 202, as well as the ISA guidelines for social security administration. Now, as I said, I will speak about Brazilian social security system. In the early month of this year, we presented in Brazil a proposal for pensions reform whose main object was to ensure a security model more socially and financially fair and more actuarially sustainable. After a year of intense debate, the reform was enacted by the National Congress in November this year. Four aspects are worth highlighting in the new Brazilian pension system. 1, the establishment of new retirement ages, minimum periods of contribution, new parameters for the receipt of dependent benefits, and transition rules for those already in the labor market. Brazil is one of the few countries in the world without a minimum age of retirement, reason because of which the average retirement age is of 54 years for those who retire because of contribution time. The population with lowest income, in other hand, retire with an average age of 65.5 years for men and 61.5 for women. 2, the new Brazilian pension system respects acquired rights, so the rules for those who are already receiving a benefit or are entitled to do so will remain the same. 3, the new law has not forsaken those who need special support, such as people with disability and senior citizens of 65 or more who live in poverty and rural workers. The benefits for this population will not change. They will continue to be entitled to a monthly minimum wage benefit even though they have never contributed to Social Security. And 4, the new Brazilian pension system was designed to ensure a more just and equitable system in which those who earn more pay more and who earn less pay less, to guarantee financial and actuarial sustainability of the system in a context of rapid and intense population aging, and to secure greater protection and social justice to Brazilian workers. Now, 92% of Brazilians over 65 have social security protection. Brazil also advanced a provisional bill currently under consideration of the National Congress to establish mechanisms to improve the employability of the younger population and improve their integration into the labor market. It is expected to create jobs and business opportunities, increase income, and improve people's overall quality of life. We have also recently introduced a bill for the creation of a program to expand pre-employment qualification and rehabilitation and improve the inclusion of people with disabilities in the labor market. One of the instruments of this program will be a monetary benefit for both the employer and the disabled person who occupies a formal job. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Secretary of Social Security. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We're going to hear from the Special Advisor to the Head of State in charge of universal health coverage in the Office of the President. Please help me welcome to the lectern Dr. Samuel Roger Kamba.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. For the Democratic Republic of Congo, the extension of social protection is the big battle horse of the Republic. We have the vision of the Excellency of the President of the Republic, Ministro Lobo, to extend it to all strata of the Congolese population a effective health coverage by 2030, and its starting point be to guarantee a minimum of benefits to most of the population through the setting up of a social protection floor. The DRC, with 87 million of inhabitants, is a member of the ILO since 1960, and in 59 years has ratified 37 conventions, 8 core conventions, that's two governance out of 4 conventions, and 20 technical conventions out of 117. The social protection system in the DRC had as a nature its insufficient insufficiency in coverage and benefits, and it has not been able to really satisfy its beneficiaries. There's been an absence of an effective coverage and financing, and not enough sustainability and financing. So there are two ways of trying to correct these deficiencies. For the head of state of DRC wants to apply the two essential recommendations, which DRC is still very grateful towards the ILO, and I'd like to quote the recommendation of 202 on the social protection floor and the recommendation 204 on the transition of informal economy to the formal economy. To be able to implement this decision of the head of state, a participatory procedure, a progressive one, an inclusive procedure, we decided to apply this, and this implementation is based on a multi-stakeholder approach based on synergies and complementarity. The civil society and the local groups are major stakeholders of the implementation and the follow-up of the implementation for the effectiveness of the program. And accountability is a key principle to restore the confidence of the population and partners for the state. As a priority action, we decided first of all that a finalizing of the implementation of the Task Force on Social Protection for a better coordination. And this process will enable the Congolese state to be able to value the experience of the civil stakeholders and be able to do something about the impact of the formal economy. We decided to continue with the updating of the legal tools on social protection. Thirdly, we decided to set up support measures to help out with a primary school and help with school canteens, and then to finalize a roadmap so as to define natural strategy for universal health coverage, which has its main target the armed forces and the national police, the agriculture producers and breeders, as well as transporters. Now, the teachers of primary and secondary school have, since the end of 2011, a pilot experience of health insurance in 3 provinces of the Republic, and this insurance will be made more widespread, extended to all the teachers of the educational system before being extended to the other public state agents. And we've increased the state budget for social protection as of 2020, and we've decided to accompany the Ministry of Employment and Social Affairs in the ratification of Convention 189 regarding domestic workers and the setting up of support measures to allow the social category to have access to the social benefits and to improve their working conditions. The program of the head of state of the RDC is very ambitious, very bold. Therefore, RDC welcomes initiatives of global and world partners to be able to achieve SDG 1.3, and would like to be part of this initiative to benefit of advice, expertise, and guidance from the achievement of this SDG. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to Dr. Kamba. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to receive a statement from the Senior Policy Officer in the Division of Health, Population Policy, Social Protection in the Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development in Germany. Please help me welcome to the podium Dr. Kirsten Imbusch.
Thank you. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, let me thank the ILO for hosting this conference and for the opportunity to share some points with you on our engagement on social protection in German development cooperation. We are living in a world where everybody faces vulnerabilities and requires social protection. This includes life cycle risks, but also increasingly risks due to fragility, climate change, and the changing nature of work, which can affect all people. And this is why our guiding principle is to support universal social protection systems that give access to protection for all people and against all risks. Our focus is on supporting partner countries to design and run universal, nationally defined systems. And we do this in about 20 partner countries in the world. Important issue areas are cash transfers, are food security, are the building of social health protection systems, which we support through financial and technical cooperation. Also, we believe that joining forces among multilateral organizations and among countries in the North and the South is of utmost importance to make progress towards universal social protection. And therefore, we are a strong supporter and member of the Social Protection Interagency Cooperation Board, the ISPAC-B, and of the Global Partnership for Universal Social Protection, the USP 2030, which was initiated both by World Bank and by the ILO. We think that USP 2030 is an invitation to put the vision of USP into practice. It's a platform for member countries to make their voices heard towards development partners with a view to aligning their activities with country needs in order to achieve USP. We think that peer learning and exchange and universal social protection between development partners is of utmost importance. And that's why we continue to support this by our initiative, Global Alliance on Social Protection. Just 2 weeks ago, we co-hosted an event with the World Bank in Ankara, convening representatives from 21 countries for a global learning lab on social protection in a changing world of work. And next year, we will launch a new global initiative looking at social protection, skills, and labor standards in the context of the digital economy and automation. Social protection systems need to effectively cover also those in new forms of employment, such as platform work. But so far, much analysis and thinking focuses on Western and industrialized countries. Our initiative will collaborate with a diverse set of countries across world regions to foster analysis and peer exchange on making social protection and labor standards also a reality in new forms of labor. And another increasingly important focus of our work is on social protection in the context of fragility, as well as on adaptive social protection. In the Sahel region, we are contributing €50 million to the World Bank's Sahel Adaptive Social Protection Program to support 6 countries in establishing national social protection systems that are adaptive and functional in crisis situations. Building these systems requires cooperation between humanitarian and development actors, and this is why Germany, as a donor both to the World Bank Multi-Donor Trust Fund and the WFP's Sahel Resilience Initiative, which we support by €130 million, have developed a joint cooperation note both with WFP and the World Bank, outlining common principles and joint actions in order to build common systems and integrating planning between the disaster response and the social protection sectors. We also, on a bilateral basis, started working with Indonesia on building climate-adaptive elements into their social protection system. And to conclude, German development cooperation, together with our international partners, is ready to continue supporting partner countries in going their way towards universal social protection. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Imbush. Ladies and gentlemen, making a commitment on the DEVCO project on behalf of the European Commission, please help me welcome Madame Dorte Bosse to the stage, please.
Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me here today, and I'd like to congratulate as well the ILO for its 100 years anniversary. We're talking here today in this session about commitments, right? So I want to get back to this. First of all, political commitment. As you all know, the European Union, its overall approach is and has always been committed very much when it comes to social protection. This was raised, I think, yesterday as well. The new president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, she made a clear statement on investing in social protection over the coming years. Of course, European Union is investing inside the European Union and outside on social protection, human development as such. Our new Commissioner for Development, Jutta Upalainen, she got as well the mission letter indicating clearly that social sectors should be supported. This is being reflected and still discussed under the new budget of the European Commission. You might know that the budget of the new Commission is about to be hopefully approved next year. We have a 7-year cyclus, and there the request is to have 20% of the overall budget financing, investing in human development, of which social protection is a part. So much on the political commitment as well. We had edited we had a communication, social protection. We have the new European Consensus for Development 2017, which turns social protection into a right to social protection for all at a universal level. Talking about money, what is important here as well, this is the second commitment we've always been making apart from the political. This is, we run 26 country programs around the world investing in social protection as well. Our so-called geographical programs, we do have, and this is a bit our think tank, that's actually where I come from there, we invest in best practice around the world, the so-called thematic programs. We just started a program being implemented together with our dear partners, ILO, UNICEF, and the Global Coalition on Social Protection Floors to link, and this is particularly interesting, on one side, social protection with public financial management. Because what we want to reach with this flagship program, our new program, is really looking into the numbers, how we can best finance those programs. This is extremely, interesting perhaps for you as well to learn about these best practices there as well. So we have 8 partner countries where we do this, where we're trying to link public financial management and social protection. So this project is focusing as well on the design, the financing, the implementation, and monitoring of social protection programs. What might be interesting as well, we try really to link social protection with our budget support programs. Most of social protection, more than half of our social protection, is implemented through budget support initiatives, not project approach, but budget support initiatives, which helps us again to come forward with a policy dialogue. This helps us as well, together with the partner countries, to link scattered social protection programs. As we all know, and this has been discussed as well, many countries have many line ministries, voila, in a policy dialogue, we can bring it together somehow to kind of align a scattered landscape or social safety nets. So we are trying to kind of make the link. Perhaps I just mention as a last point here, coming back to the political commitments as well. So I talked about what the Commission is doing in political terms, commitment, and financial terms. As a last point, I wanted to underline as well our commitment at the international level. So, of course, we are part of the BRB group. Of course, we are supporting firmly the USP 2030 as well. And last but not least, what is often forgotten, we don't implement ourselves. We work very closely with our partners, with the international partners, as I just mentioned, with the ILO, UNICEF, Global Coalition on Social Protection Floors, but as well with a lot of our EU member states when it comes to implementation of our programs. So at the operational level, at the global level, we are very active. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam Duarte. Ladies and gentlemen, we now receive a statement from the Technical Advisor for the Social Development Thematic Group from the Asian Development Bank. Please help me welcome Madam Wendy Walker.
Thank you. Thank you. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, I first want to thank our host, the ILO, for this very important forum and for giving us the opportunity to participate and come today with our commitments on strengthening social protection in the Asia and Pacific region. The Asian Development Bank is committed to building a prosperous, inclusive, resilient, and sustainable Asia and Pacific region. Our first operational priority of the new Corporate Strategy 2030 is on addressing remaining poverty and inequality with a particular focus on strengthening human capital and social protection. The vision of ADB's social protection strategy is the provision of social protection to all citizens in Asia and Pacific through the development of sustainable programs with universal coverage to effectively assist developing member countries reduce poverty and inequality and achieve growth by enhancing productivity. In this context, ADB is committed to maintain and strengthen its support for social protection and the goal of SDG 1.3 in its operations in the Asia and Pacific region, in line with the needs of developing member countries, and to deepen collaboration with other development partners, especially at the country level. Secondly, to contribute to the monitoring of Target 1.3 of the Sustainable Development Goals by continuing to implement the Social Protection Indicator for Asia and the Pacific region, which is a unique database monitoring and reporting on social protection expenditure and coverage. To continue to collaborate with development partners and other stakeholders on capacity building and knowledge development through initiatives such as the joint ILO-ADB MOU and the biannual Asian and Pacific Social Protection Forum, which is dedicated to fostering global and South-South exchange. And finally, to strengthening community resilience to climate change and disasters in the region through enhanced risk governance and leveraging poverty reduction and social protection programs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Walker. Ladies and gentlemen, making a commitment in the context of the project with the ILO, we have the Director for the Global Supply Chain and Sustainability from Fast Retailing. Please help me welcome to the lectern, Madam Veronique Rocher.
Good afternoon. It is an honor to be here today to have the opportunity to explain you what is this project about and what does it mean for Fast Retailing. In September 2019, Fast Retailing and the ILO launched a project to improve social protection for Asian workers. The ILO will conduct a comparative analysis of social security systems in our key production countries such as Bangladesh, Vietnam, China. In Indonesia, the ILO will engage with government agencies, employer association, and employee association to reach three objectives: ensure a minimum income and prevent for unemployed workers and their family to fall into poverty, facilitate a return to employment through employment services, upgrade skill and capabilities for workers for them to find a job easily. We hope women workers will have access to new skill training and have a higher income, considering studies that women spend more in family welfare and education for children. Fast Retailing is a global company operating several brands such as Uniqlo, Comptoir des Cantonniers, Theory. Uniqlo has a unique concept of life wear, which means clothes made for all, with long-lasting design, high quality, and functionality. Including in this life wear concept, who made the clothes and how are also integrated. It is important for us that our customers feel confident that the people who made their clothes are in a safe working environment. We see in Asia facing currently changing labor market with high risk of job displacement due to the rapid shift of employment needs. This is particularly true in the garment industry in Indonesia. Social protection scheme has improved over time in Asia, but still has some gap to fully protect workers and their family. We hope from these comparative studies of labor market, social security systems to understand better the challenge and the needs of our key production countries, and look for a solution through systemic social protection measures to improve working environment in Asia. Fast retailing has a responsibility to respect human rights. This is a high expectation from our key stakeholders, including investors. We've been working in our supply chain through a combination of our own initiative and partnering with the industry and multi-stakeholder platform. But through this partnership with ILO, we hope to expand our impact and find solution to issues faced by all workers, not only from workers in our supply chain, by strengthening national policies. We see this project as an investment for business opportunities. With strengthened social protection, workers feel safer at work, so workers' turnover would decrease. With a stable workforce, factory can make investment in workers' skill and new technology, so productivity would increase. We are optimistic that this project will lead to positive impact, knowing the past engagement of the ILO in strengthening the social security system in Indonesia. For all of these reasons, Fast Retailing committed to provide $1.8 million in funding this two-year project with the ILO. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Madame Rocher. Ladies and gentlemen, making a statement on GBN and corporate social protection policy, please help me welcome to the podium Group Employee Relations Manager for Nestle, Madame Biljana Georgieva Vuva.
Dear Valérie, dear E, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to be part of this commitment session. On behalf of Nestle, I would like to take this opportunity to thank and congratulate ILO for the outstanding work done in these 100 years towards advancing social protection and creating a better working environment for all. For our company, it's an honor to be recognized as a responsible partner for social protection. The principles of social protection are aligned with Nestle's purpose of enhancing quality of life and contributing to a healthier future, and with our values rooted in respect. We consider social protection not only as a human right, but also being the basis of a fair society where people live with dignity when life puts them in a less favorable situation. Every member of the society should have the right to security in the event of unemployment, sickness, disability, old age, and other lack of livelihood or circumstances beyond their control. The same is valid in much happier events like becoming parents, for example, and having to take time off work in order to recover, rest, and bond with the new child. But there is also a dimension broader than that. Social protection is also an enabler to build a society which is prosperous. We believe that if we invest in social protection, we are creating the fundamentals of a virtuous circle. Social protection also contributes to sustainable economic growth by raising labor productivity, empowering people to find decent jobs, stabilizing demand and growth, and stimulating local economies. We firmly believe that social protection is an investment in the human capital of our company, into the livelihood of our communities and society at large. At Nestle, we embrace the principles of social protection and invest in programs like global maternity protection, Global Living Wage Initiative, and Employee Health Framework. 1 year ago, we had the privilege to sign a Memorandum of Understanding with the ILO, and since then we have marked together the full global implementation of our maternity protection policy. However, we believe that we can do more, and we are committed to continue to work in this direction. Very soon, we will have more news from our side, regarding the parental support that we are going to provide to our more than 300,000 employees worldwide in order to make Nestle an even more inclusive and inspiring place to work. We are looking forward to continue working together with the ILO towards shaping a better working world where equal opportunities are the norm. I wish you a very good conference, and I thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in the format of a video, allow us to share the words of Madame Cicely Schilberg on behalf of the Friedrich Ebert Stiftung University. Please turn your attention to the video. Let's move on to the Oh, you are here. All right, but you have a video to show us as well? Fantastic. Please, can we give her a round of applause? You can come to the lectern. My apologies. Thank you so much.
Sorry. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this opportunity. The Friedrich Ebert Stiftung, a German political foundation committed to the values of social justice and social democracy, will continue to engage in the promotion of a human rights-based approach to social protection, including social protection floors. With our offices, with our network of over 90 offices worldwide, we will support our partners in pursuing and the planning and implementation of social protection policies. And I would like to give you just three quick examples how we fulfill this commitment for 2020. For example, one study that is funded by FES will be finalized and presented in the regions in 2020 from the I2UC on economic benefits of social protection. Another example is the Global Social Protection Floor Index, which was developed in cooperation with the Global Coalition for Social Protection Floors in 2016. It measured the financial amount in percentage of GDP that would have to be invested by a country in order to complete a social protection floor. And the index is therefore a tool for initiating discussions on national budget priorities, as it shows that in the vast majority of countries, the realization of a social protection floor is actually financially feasible, and so therefore also a question of political will, strategy, and decision making. And next year we will have an online tool, an online data platform of this index, so that an easy-to-access online tool for monitoring purposes and long-term comparison will be available for everybody. And last but not least, the third example I would like to present is that we carried out a project in 9 countries with our offices in these countries, and for supporting the creation of national civil society and trade union coalitions. And first of all, we wanted to raise awareness and knowledge on the internationally agreed instruments and standards, such as the SDGs and the Recommendation 202. And we also wanted to support CSOs and trade unions in their efforts and capabilities to formulate social protection policy demands. And the experience and lessons learned in this 3-year project are now published under the title From International Ivory Towers to National Realities, The Challenge of Creating National Dialogues for Social Protection Floor, which is actually what I have here and would like to give the ILO to its centenary. And we also created a video which our partners are using for advocacy purposes, and I would like to share it with all of you so that all the commitments that were made here will be supported by a bit of joy of this video. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Oh, what a beautiful share. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, the last commitment this afternoon is a commitment on a project with the ILO through DEVCO. It is going to be presented by a member of the Global Coalition for Social Protection Floors. Please help me welcome to the podium Mr. Wouter van Ginneken.
So, good afternoon. We are ready to dance. We are in the Global Coalition. We want the social protection floor, and we should all dance together. Right. Thank you for inviting us, you know, to this high-level meeting. We are the Global Coalition for Social Protection Floors, comprises over 100 non-state actors, civil society organizations, and trade unions. And we work towards the implementation of universal residence and human rights-based social protection systems and floors in line with human rights instruments, international labor standards, ILO Recommendation 202, and the 2030 Agenda. Our coalition members are committed to five issues to achieve this aim. First, robust monitoring of the implementation of the four social security guarantees of ILO Recommendation number 202. Two, national and international financing mechanisms for social protection. Three, participation in the design, promotion, and monitoring of the implementation of social protection floors and systems. Four, national and international action required to ensure universal access to healthcare. And five, the importance of gender equality and rights-based care policies. We are a committed member of the Interim Steering Committee of the USP 2030 Partnership, and we are very pleased to participate in specific action countries by the EU Action Programs on Synergies in Social Protection and Public Finance Management, which was mentioned earlier. We are also confident that this partnership with the ILO, UNICEF, and the EU will strengthen national dialogues to reach consensus to further social protection for all. In our work, we emphasize four dimensions of social protection. We articulate the transformative potential of social protection for social development itself, for the eradication of poverty, for gender equality, but also to enable people and societies to address the impact of climate change and to reduce inequalities. Second, we favor strengthening partnerships, advocacy, and lobbying on social protection floors, highlighting progress and gaps, and here we stress the needs for enhanced coverage, adequate financing, and tax justice. Three, we identify and help overcome obstacles in the delivery of social protection, including means testing and conditioning benefits, which can be obstacles and often exclude marginalized and hard-to-reach people. Four, strengthen social accountability through assessment-based national dialogue, capacity building, data disaggregation, and monitoring. Finally, our coalition is committed to play our full part in achieving universal residence and human rights-based social protection systems and floors for all people on our planet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. van Ginneken. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to hand over to our chair, Madame Veg Gelgaard, to give us a closing of the session.
Thank you very much, Ms. Moderator. I think all of these commitments, they more than speak for themselves. And of course, it's far from possible for me to summarize what actually they have all been about. So rather, I want to say that they serve as a source of fundamental inspiration for us all. And also, I think, as I mentioned earlier, they each give a story of what is required, and together they are representing a symbolic value of what it takes. They really underscore the centrality of partnerships in realizing the shared vision we have of universal social protection. So therefore, I think I'd rather go back to what we heard in the billboard from our moderator yesterday. I think it's more than appropriate for me to maybe ask for a slight revision of Together We Can. In the sense, I think I would rather say that we can, together we can, but also together we must indeed work together, and we must deliver on the vision we have for ensuring social protection for all. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you so much for those closing thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, we now move to the official closing of this high-level conference. It's a great privilege for me to now invite Mr. Musa Amaru, the ILO Deputy Director General for Field Operations and Partnerships, to come to the podium to officially close the high-level conference for us. Thank you very much, sir.
Mesdames et Messieurs les ministres,
ladies and gentlemen, ministers, representatives of the employers and workers organizations, members of academia, dear colleagues, here I am again before you. It's the end of the afternoon, so I shall be short. Is it up to me to pronounce the concluding words of the high-level conference on achieving SDG 1.3 and universal social protection in the context of the future of work? These 2 days were extremely rich, thanks to you, to our panelists, and to you, dear participants. And to our moderator, Nozifo, who has so brilliantly moderated our sessions. We started with the idea that social protection was a human right, in capital letters. According to our Director General, Guy Ryder, it enables human beings to be free of fear and to keep hope for the future. But we have to change our mindset, as Mrs. Amina Mohammed invited us to do. Social protection is not a cost, it is an investment that produces returns, including economic growth, peace, and social justice, as Mrs. Michelle Bachelet, the High Commissioner for Human Rights, reminded us. It has a multiplying effect and reaches a large number of people who are not being helped. It's also an investment that can change people's daily lives and the place of women in society. Social protection is a girl's best friend, as the lady from Finland told us. And we were reminded that giving a woman a social security card is like overturning power, the established power. Countries' success should not be measured by their GDP, but the degree of happiness, the degree of well-being that they produce and share with everyone. So we need a compass, but also a roadmap to find the way and choose the best strategy for providing universal social protection and avoid of people falling through the cracks. Mrs. Sharon Barris of the ITUC said that we need to create complete networks providing adequate protection, covering a broad range of risks access to health, family allowances, disability allowances, old age pensions, and of course occupational diseases. And we have, she asked the question, what's the point of producing wealth unless it's going to be then redistributed? We also know that there's not just one approach, but we have to contextualize the responses. The Deputy Minister of South Africa reminded us of this, and David Cody from the IMF reminded us of that too, when he talked about national ownership. The ILO has reminded us on many occasions that social dialogue between governments, employers and workers makes it possible to achieve long-lasting solutions for social protection systems that strengthen the social covenant. Countries that have put political will into action have done miracles. For example, Mexico, in less than a year, they achieved almost complete coverage of old age coverage pensions, or China, universal coverage for healthcare and old age pensions in less than 10 years. We talked of new challenges in the world of work. For example, digitalization, climate change, changes in population, globalization, inequality, and so on. And we've understood that social protection is the key to facilitating individual transition and a profound change in society. But we also need to adapt. Mr. Roberto Suarez, Secretary General of the IOE, recommended that social protection should adapt to the realities of work and to the informal economy so as to facilitate the formalization of the economy, which will then generate more resources for social protection. Universal social protection is certainly one of the most relevant aspects of the human-centered approach called for by the ILO in its centenary declaration. The example of Kenya shows us how social protection is based on human beings because it changes people's lives. There's not much time left to talk. We're now at a stage where we have to act immediately. There's only 10 years left to achieve the SDGs. As Mrs. Lisa Corbiel reminded us, we can't get there all on our own. The job is too big, challenge is too great. We have to strengthen partnerships and make them the most operational they can be. All partners around the table are of value, and it's only by finding synergies that we can make progress. The United Nations shows its commitment by making a contribution of $12 million to the SDGs. But that's just a beginning. We have to put in more money if we want to achieve social protection for all within 10 years. More precisely, we need about $5 to $7 billion per year. That is, so that the poorest countries of the world can be included as well. As I said this morning, solidarity is the key. And as the Minister of the Labour of Cameroon has reminded us, that should apply particularly to the poorest countries. That should be implemented through social protection schemes so that countries themselves fund it as they can and use it as they want. The EU has an ambitious programme for national solutions to increase fiscal space for social protection in many countries. But solidarity should be international as well. As Mr. Jeffrey Sachs reminded us this morning, we also know that the money's there, but it's often to be found in tax havens. It's generated but not distributed because tax schemes are very unequal and unfair. So we should attack tax havens, Mr. Sachs said, and taxing multinationals, especially in regards to the digital economy. This is what G7 proposed this year, and we were reminded of that by Mrs. Carver. To come back to universal social protection, the Deputy Secretary General of the UN, Mrs. Amina Mohamed, said we should work together, change our mindsets, and look to the future. So let us look to the future and try to build together tomorrow's social protection, which will be universal, full, adequate, sustainable, and socially sustainable. And it will have to adapt to social, economic, and climate change as well. And this is what we're going to try and do in the next 2 days, in the next part of this social protection week, starts tomorrow. Thank you for your attention, ladies and gentlemen.